week, finishing up the book of Joshua, and having their situation remind me of what the people were thinking and what was going on this week, this Palm Sunday, how it started off with all the excitement and ended up with horrific disappointment, and finally with unbelievable glory. But just going to the book of Joshua for a moment, just to finish up there before we move into our idea, not our idea, the thought of Palm Sunday. So Joshua chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, we started into it last week, and we're at the place where the sun stood still. At the place where the sun stood still. Then Joshua 12 to 13. Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that, before it or after it. And the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Written in the book of Jasher. Jasher is a collection of state poems, really. A similar thing is seen in Numbers 21, verse 14. Here there is mention, it mentions the book of wars, a compilation of poetry and songs, which celebrated Israel's historic victories and anomalies. Miracles and such. The sun stood still. Was this the only way God could win this battle? No. But it was the way God chose to win this battle. Yes, he would do it through Joshua, God's choice. The Lord was not only fighting for Israel, he was fighting with them. And that's what he wanted them to know. God is not only for us, he is with us. We don't know exactly what went on during those moments. Did Joshua ask God what to do? And God told him to say this? We don't know. Did Joshua hear a still small voice? Did he have a holy unction that rose up inside him and he just knew beyond the shadow of a doubt this was what he had to say? And he knew he had to say it so that Israel could hear it? I'm not sure, but that's what happened. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Did you all get your little paper and the bulletin today? Okay. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In a world full of mediocrity, political correctness, recreational drugs, and life choices, every life today needs to hear the gospel spoken. It needs to be out there. The world has become crazy. Actually, God is much quicker to speak to man than man is to God. I find that unfortunate. God speaks to us a lot more than we speak to him. And yet, anytime I have a married couple come and speak to me about some problems, the problem is usually communication. Somebody's not talking. And so what about this relationship with God? Are we communicating? Do we enjoy him and ask him to join us in the things that we're doing? We should be. So, Matthew 10:27 says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in the ear, preach from the housetops." The information you receive is not just for you. We are carriers of the gospel. This is not, church isn't what happens to you with God in the week. That's not all of it. This is just a download, a place to celebrate. What about the rest of the week? Where's God in that? Where's God in that? He's right there. Can you see him? Are you speaking with him? Actually, God is much quicker to speak to man than man is with God. The Lord heeded the voice of a man. Never seen anything like it. And never will again. What was Joshua asking for that day? The very thing that God was after. God wanted the Amorites out of the promised land. And that's exactly what Joshua was doing. And you can count on that's exactly what they were talking about. And so he was in the will of God. When you're in the will of God, asking him for something is very simple. You're asking him for the obvious. But if you're in yourself, in the middle of the will of God, And you wonder why he doesn't hear? You're asking for wrong things. The book of James explains that perfectly. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss to consume it upon yourself. You're asking for your own self-will. The promised land was his gift to them, just as his promised life, his life, is his gift to us. That's his gift. That's what Jesus was walking into Jerusalem to give on this very day. Not just abundant life, his life, which was abundant, eternal, profound, amazing, best word, awesome. Totally awesome. We didn't get the leftovers with Jesus. God seriously drew attention this day to himself through Joshua, that he was indeed the God of Israel. Seriously drew attention to himself. God who could be trusted to keep his promise. Yes. The Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the great I Am. God was hereby notifying all the world that he was doing for his people, Israel, in the promised land. He was working for them. He was working with them. In the last great battle for this land, God will do it again. This time, it's in the Valley of Armageddon. And it's a scene of the final conflict between Christ and the Antichrist. Just imagine what this did for the idolaters of the day who worship the sun and the moon. You can't just stop that. They were counting on that to make their life nice. They're looking through their horoscopes and doing all this garbage by way of speaking, don't bother with that. That's what conforms us to the world. That's got nothing to do with giving us direction. That's the enemy's tactic, to mimic God and trap you. They must have been a little taken back to realize that these things had no divine power, but were subject to Jehovah, the God of Israel. Wow. In verses 16 to 27 in this chapter, I expect when I'm going through the book of Joshua that you read ahead or read after I've gone through the chapter. Some of it's generality, some of it I'll tell you in a story form. So you actually need to read it to see, get the details for yourself. But in verses 16 to 27, we see things starting to settle down a little. And Joshua, who is in Gilgal at the time, gets word of the five kings who are held up in a cave in Makkedah. So Joshua gives command to some folks to roll a huge stone in front of the cave, but carries on with the fighting. And he's got them. They're trapped. See how God was working? Here, hide here. We're trapped. Joshua then shows up at the cave and kills the kings. The implication is that he hanged them. This was much more than a simple execution. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 to 23 will explain this for us. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. And my mind last week was flipping back to Palm Sunday and Easter and Good Friday, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, hanged? Hanging on a tree? A cross? Curses? We'll get into it in a bit. So this is the specific reason Joshua did what he did. A king is the representative of everyone who lives under his influence. That's just the position. Hanging a king meant that everyone who lived under his influence was also cursed. And that was the Amorites. And we talked about it lots now. They've had their time. Hundreds and hundreds of years, God watched them and gave to them every day warmth and rain and food and nourishment, all that stuff. And not once did they acknowledge him for who he was. And their time was up. They were under a curse. We as a people, through Adam, until we're born again, live under a curse. Not a magical thing. It's just life without God is a cursed thing. Is it not? I've lived to some of that. It was nasty. Joshua then turns his attention to Makkadah. In verses 28 to 41, we see that Joshua and his army took at least seven other kings and their cities and utterly destroyed them up to this point. He basically took from the north end of the Dead Sea southward, with the exception of the Philistine coast along the Mediterranean Sea. The term utterly destroyed may mean that Joshua did his part in destroying all that was within his sight. It does not necessarily account for the ones who ran away. I only say this because as you go on in studying the history of Israel, you will see some of these lands were inhabited again by these same people at a later date. And some of that was of the sloppy living that Israel was doing among the nations and welcoming those people back with their idols and such. If you're going to be a believer, be a believable one and stick with it. The world is watching. The will of God took Joshua and the children of Israel by surprise this day, exactly how it was going to go. Everything was so much greater than they had ever imagined. The fact that God was with them in the battle to the point of defeating more of the enemy than Israel did was amazing. And they were probably in the battlefield. I can't believe this. Did you see that hailstorm? Look at all those people. Well, God is with us. Duh. We don't often get that in our day, do we? Oh, God, please come here. You know what? He's here before you got here. Actually, two people were in this place before I got here. The God and the devil. When I come here, I pay attention to God and ignore the devil because he hates the fact that we're here doing this. And the lies that he told you last week or maybe last month, he's trying to reinforce in you right now so you won't listen to what I'm saying. That's what he does. That's why he comes to church. So if you're having any of those feelings, that's what it is. But check out the Word for yourself. The fact that God was with them in the battle to this point was amazing. And if that were not enough, the sun never went down that day until the battle was finished. And they're probably ready for a break. Hey, what time is it? I don't know, it must be about noon. The sun hasn't moved. Have you ever noticed the sun hasn't moved in a long time? Never mind, keep fighting. Keep fighting. Yeah. Amazing. As far as taking over the land God had promised them, they were completely correct. As far as imagining how that would take place, they had seriously underestimated God. Ah, the point, the reason for impossibilities and the reason for miracles, right there. You ever wonder how much time God spends in a day going like this? I'm over here! I'm over here! He shouldn't have to wave his arms. But we get stuck in a rut and we don't see him. We see ourselves, we see the end of our strength, but we don't look any further. I've discovered that God lives at the end of myself. And he's waiting to bring me out of myself to that point so that he can create me into that new self that he gave himself for. So as we move along in this story, and we're going to see how God defeated even more than the five kings at a time. So just as the will of God took Joshua and the children of Israel by surprise during this story, everything was so much greater than they had imagined. The fact that God was with them in the battle to the point of defeating more than the enemy had was amazing. And if that were not enough, sun went down that day till the battle was finished. Okay, getting down. Right, here we are. And today, Palm Sunday. Now go back some 2,000 plus years. Devin, can you take us back? Or Ken, can you do that? Everything except the dome, roughly. I just want to give you create a picture in your mind's eye. Just let me know when you got that, Ken. Okay. So today, Palm Sunday, I find myself wondering what the people had in mind who were laying branches before Jesus shouting, Hosanna. Save now, was the message they were giving him as he humbly rode into Jerusalem on a small donkey. Jesus said, looking toward it, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That's roughly what he was looking at, and that's what was on his heart. And Jesus, being God in the flesh, he's the one that sent the prophets and the messengers. He was the one that was there that received them when they were stoned, as he did with Stephen. He speaks this to Jerusalem. The crowd had salvation in mind, absolutely. But very few, if any, had a proper notion of what it was, what was needed and what they needed to be saved from. What was needed to be done to receive salvation and what they needed to be saved from. They had no idea. You ever been surprised at your sin? How much is there and how deep it goes and how tricky it is and how it sneaks up on you? Yeah. We have no idea. It seems like almost everyone wants God to do something for them, but not many want to do something with God other than order Him around. God's like our, you know, oh God, please, oh God, please, oh God, please. How about, oh God, I just want to do whatever you want done. I dare you to say it out loud. Say it out loud. No, I'm not telling you to do what to do here, but go somewhere and say it out loud. Go to the top of Mount Pharo and say it out loud. He'll keep that promise, whatever that might be. And just leave it there. Life in God through Christ. That's what I'm talking about. It seems like almost everyone, yeah, wants God to do something for them. When Jesus walked into town this day, some 2,000 plus years ago, it was not on the Sabbath as it is today. Right? It was not on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was yesterday for him. The Sabbath in Jesus' day was Saturday. For Jesus, he was coming into town on the first day of the week, and he was coming into town to do his Father's business. That's what he said to his mother when she lost him in the temple as a boy, 12 years old. I'm here to do my Father's business. Walking into town on the first day of the week. He's loaded for bear. And he's going to do what it takes to get us saved, even from ourselves. You ever pray that? Sometimes I pray that. When I'm having a tough day, I say, God, deliver me from the body of this death. Yes, that we might live in the newness of His life. All this stuff was going on. They had no idea. We know, because we know the story. They're laying down the palm branches. Everybody's all excited. Great. Great church meeting. Oh, how was it? Oh, it was really good. What was the message? I don't know. Everybody's excited. And No. He's coming into town to do his Father's business. And his Father's business was to become the sin mankind had been overcome with. That was his Father's business. That Jesus should become the sin that the mankind had been overcome with. Jesus and the Father are one. John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Oh, man. Ever wonder how far God would go to save you? Better question, how far will you go to be saved? And how far will you go to stay saved? Oh, once saved, always saved. Excuse me. What you sow, you'll reap. I get that scripture. I believe in eternal security. But what you sow, you will reap. I've seen them. I've seen those people. Don't be afraid, but be awake. Jesus died on the cross. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Talk about identifying. Book of Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, just like we are. I'll say, he became what had overcome us. Wow. But he's God. Oh, that's too bad. Oh, that's too bad. No, that's great. If we can get rid of this load on God, he can carry it and he knows where to put it. As far as the east is from the west. Where you can't see it anymore. You can't find your sin when you go looking for it. Christ, Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not working toward, boom. Living out from there. I love, like, little babies, they're complete. They're complete. I remember Addie, you've heard me tell the story before, I was there and helping my daughter and this baby was born, and the nurse taps me on the shoulder, and there's this little baby laying on my daughter's tummy, and the baby was going like this. Never had a drink yet, but it was ready to go. Everything was there. Even the instinct to live. It's all there. And when we're born again, it's all there. Now, if that baby refuses to eat, it's anemic. Back to the hospital. Whatever, you know. We have to help them do what's there to do sometimes. Potty training. What a wonderful time. Oh. Who needs it? The baby needs it. All this stuff. It's how the Holy Spirit. Come on, come on. That's, okay. Oh, no, don't do that. Come on, come on. Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. Oh, watch out. He's the greatest babysitter we got. Even at this age. He's come to be with us. He's for us and has come to be with us. People who have been made alive in Jesus, that is born again, have been made the righteousness of God in Jesus and are therefore made eternal through his completed work of the Father, which is always to be the Redeemer of his mankind. The Redeemer of his mankind. Let me read it to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 3 to 6. For this is Paul. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. That was Paul's present. But some have fallen asleep. Some have died. Who would have thought that so much was necessary and so much was accomplished in a single week? In a single week. And your testimony. It's not from when God saved you. That might be, you might do that once in a while. Your testimony is from what God has done last week. And will do next week and the days to come is in the process of. That's what the world needs to see. The world needs to see God with us, not rising us above the unsaved, walking in the midst of the unsaved, the saved life. Who is? Christ. He is our life. He didn't just come and give you life and walk away. He came to move in. And take over and be all that he is in the midst of all that we're not. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. So the week begins. Good Friday, we'll celebrate another part of it down at the CRC Church, Christian Reformed Church. And then Sunday, our typical Resurrection Sunday, great celebration. But now, celebrate all the time. Celebrate through all of it.